Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crow. And with me on this episode is Frost.
Hello.
Misha Kitty.
Hello.
And the newest member to the podcast team, Dar Kiram. Kiram? Oranges?
Kiram.
Kiram?
Oranges.
Kiram?
Dar Oranges.
Yep, Dar Oranges.
Orange-ar-da-dar-ga-dar. Yay! Dark Kiram! Hi, I'm here. I'm on the team. Finally. Yay!
So, yeah.
Couldn't keep him off anymore, guys. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. We tried. We tried hard. We didn't try hard at all. So, yeah, let's start with a nice little update from you, Dar. It's been a while since we've had you on the podcast. We all know that you've been a member of the Mercs for a while, and you do stuff for the Mercs. What are your current job titles, if you have any?
Well, no, actually, right now, I'm only the Alarad again. My life has been crazy since the last time I was on here, so I no longer live in the town that I was in. I've since moved to Louisville itself, instead of living outside of town. Because I'm going to be going to school in the fall. So I've been dealing with a handful of medical issues, and that's kind of forced me to reevaluate the things that I was doing and how productive a member I was to, say, the brigades, which I had signed on for briefly. And I'd gone back to doing the offensive division brigade marshal. And I did that, and I was excited to be back, and it was helping me out, but medical issues, depression, and other things, I had to step down from that. And then I was also briefly, actually, I think the last time you guys spoke to me, I was the regional Veer Sol. But then again, it was a matter of I had school and life. I had to step back because I didn't want to be the dead weight causing that position to go to waste, so I figured it'd be the more responsible thing and step down while I still could before, you know, staining it out. And then, so now I'm just an Alarad. I've been pushing to make my clan grow. I got a new Veer lore, phenomenal, so I'd like a little shout-out to my clan officers, Oren Yagar and my Ruslore, Peshkatar. They've been doing an outstanding job lately, and I'm thankful to have them, and we've been just focusing on bringing Blue Moon Clan back out because, you know, it's been kind of quiet around here. So just doing some new stuff there. We've been getting involved with a lot of charity events lately, and it's just been a lot of good stuff here. And it's a fresh start, I guess you could say.
And Dar, maybe for people who aren't, I didn't hear you say this, but maybe just for folks who might not necessarily know. Blue Moon Clan is where in the world?
We are in Kentucky. We've been here since 2010. I'm the remaining founder of the three of us who formed a Blue Moon Squad. And that's, you know, the old days when squads were a thing. That's no longer the case, I guess. But yeah, Kentucky. I run this joint.
Very cool. Well, we are very glad to have you. It's really exciting to have a new member on the team, and we appreciate you putting us in your schedule to join us.
Well, I've actually been hounding the Moose for a good year now to put a good word into Ian to get me on the team, but the Moose kept deflecting me. Just talk to Ian. Just talk to Ian yourself. And I was like, fine. And I was told Ian a handful of times, but I guess it just wasn't the right time. But then I, you know, harassed you a little bit about it, Misha, and then you made things happen. So here I am. Yay! I'm glad to be here, though. I think this is a team that I can be with and I can share what goes on in my brain and enjoy having conversations with you people.
I think it's really nice, too, that the podcast is an awesome way for us to reach all five listeners. Hello, five listeners that are out there. sometimes we've gotten some really nice messages, like, really nice messages from people. So we know there's more than five people.
There's at least seven.
Yes, we usually say seven. But it's a really, really great way to reach members. And, you know, we always like to remind people, go to the forums to find stuff out. But it's wonderful because our little club does have a podcast and a newsletter, Battle Cry, and a really, like, happen in Facebook page and an Instagram and a Twitter. there's a lot of different ways to reach out, and this one is by far one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, welcome to Dar, and thank you all seven or eight listeners.
I think there's 10.
We love every one of you.
Yeah, 10's a good optimist.
Personally, we personally love every single one of you. Some.
Yeah, someday you may have a Misha on your doorstep, just like coming and bearing hugs. I promise it won't be at a weird time of night, but just to say thank you for listening.
I don't know about that.
No. Yeah. I can't be authorized to hug people that listen to our podcast.
Alright, so I guess we'll move into Merc's news. First thing I'd like to mention, I actually didn't have any in the itinerary, so ha. But first thing I'd like to mention is that we are officially at over 1,500 members, 1,500 official members in the Mandalorian Merc's Costume Club.
Really?
Yes. Woo-hoo! As of August 4th, we were up to 1,520. And I know that there's actually a few more, because I actually got a, Wampa Clan just got a new member as of, like, 2 days ago, so super thrilled about that. But not only that, but number 1,500 is actually Ms. Mary Franklin herself.
Wow!
Yep. Yeah, she got her armor at, Celebration London. She actually trooped with us for a little bit, in her busy, busy schedule as one of the people who runs the various celebrations. So
is that her job now?
Yep, she currently works for Reed Pop. I think her Twitter handle is actually, like, Reed Pop Mary or something like that. So, we did lose her in her capacity as director of fan relations for Lucasfilm, but we still see her all the time because she's usually at the bigger, enormous celebration-grade conventions that are out there. So we do get to see her from time to time. And now we will get to see her in armor from time to time. So, grats, Mary. Thank you for joining the club officially. She's been an honorary member for years, but...
Yeah, but so is Jeremy.
Exactly.
And now Jeremy is, the Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, speaking of honorary members, can I pipe in on something here?
Oh, I suppose.
So, last weekend was a local convention here called Fandom Fest, and I had the honor of inducting two new honorary members into the club. The first is a buddy of mine, Robert Cunningham, who was the only American on the team to go to the Lars Homestead and restore it. The Lars Homestead restoration program. And then on top of that, I got to induct, or rather my Veer Lord did more of it, but Kevin Smith himself is now an honorary member in the Mando Mercs.
I did see that, yeah. I saw the Kevin Smith thing, and that's just cool.
He was floored. He was so he knew exactly. He was like, so you guys are like the 501st, right? And I was like, yeah. We were like, yeah. And so he was so amazed by it.
Yeah, because you'll be hard pressed to find a legit Hollywood director who is a bigger Star Wars fan and general nerd than Kevin Smith.
Right.
So yeah, that's awesome. Like, I saw some of the pictures from you guys presenting him his HM award, and just yeah, the look on his face is just it's pure joy. Like he wasn't doing the oh yes, I got one of these. Thanks guys. Yeah. Emmy smile. No, he was actually like oh my god. Like Wampa Clan has actually been lucky enough to induct one or two people. We inducted Tim Rose, the actor who played Admiral Akbar.
At the drop.
Yep.
Nice.
We got him at a convention back in April. But yeah, it's actually a very very simple process. It is one that only it's generally only the Alarad or the Verilor can actually execute.
Right, but if you're a
but anybody can bring it up to your Alarad or Verilor, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
And let me just clarify the process of honorary membership. You have to have your Verilor submit for it, because as an Alarad, I don't have access to those threats. I have read access because my Verilor requested it, but right. I don't have messaging access, so I have to ping my Verilor and say, hey, we should do this, or one of my official members can say, hey, why can't we submit for this individual? That individual, of course, has to have had some impact in the Star Wars community, be it the fan base, but it has to be within the Star Wars industry. And once that gets submitted, you have to just, you know, wait, as always, for either Tom, Mandalore, or Saz, our PO, and or PR guy, and have them, you know, give the thumbs up or thumbs down. So sometimes it can take some time. Sometimes you get lucky and they're able to approve it pretty quick. But that's just the process. It's have your Verilor do it, request it, and usually, generally, as long as the individual is involved with Star Wars, then more than likely they're more or less gonna get approved.
Yeah, and then once that is submitted and approved, the actual kit that we give to our honorary members, aside from any other gifts that we happen to give, there's a plaque and they get an official member badge. Both of those do require, you know, a little, you know, there's a fee. There's the guy who makes them for us needs some money. So you send that down to him, and in, you know, a couple weeks' time, you end up getting the plaque, and that is what you can personally hand to the new honorary member. It's very painless, and it is honestly, like, I unfortunately had to miss out on the Tim Rose induction because I had some family stuff going on, but it is one of the coolest things in the world to say, hey, you, celebrity, you're in the club now.
One of the things, too, that I just want to... I was trying to say this, but you guys bowled me over.
As we do.
I know. It always happens. No, just kidding. But really and truly, I really want to emphasize, like, if you're an official member out there and you see someone that you think should be in it, please bring it up. Like, don't be afraid to go to your Verilor and say, hey, I think this person would be really good. Keep in mind, like we've said a couple times, they do need to be somehow connected to the Star Wars universe, but that can be something that's really exciting for your clan if it gets approved. And I mean, what a wonderful thing, especially if it's somebody who's a good place to look is like people that are coming to cons. Anybody from like a voice actor to artists have been inducted. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody like a major actor, although of course that's always great. But authors, all different types of people that are connected with the Star Wars universe are really, really great choices for that. And it's a really nice thing that you can bring for your clan.
Well, and that kind of touches on, like, my buddy Robert. You know, he's not a celebrity. He's not, you know, in any films or anything. But his work, being a part of the team that went out to Tunisia in the middle of the desert and helped repair the actual movie set, Lars Homestead site, you know, that's as Mandalore posted in the threads that I saw, you know, that is Star Wars history that he went out to.
Absolutely.
And so like Misha was saying, it doesn't have to be a film star. It can be a movie, or it could be an author. And, you know, like my buddy Robert, who, you know, I just want to say personally, it was probably the coolest experience for me, because this guy is like a brother to me, and he's done so many cool things. And for me to have the honor to bring him into our club, I mean, that's one of the best feelings in the world that I've had, probably in the top five that I've had within this club.
And to me, that's a very organic thing, because that was a really wonderful experience for you. And I can imagine that for your fellow clan members, it was really great for them too. It's such a positive thing to have something like that happen. And interestingly, like, some clans don't do very much of it. Like, I know BVC troops a lot, but I think when I was Virilor, we didn't have anybody come in as an honorary member. And even after that, I don't think we've really had anybody either. Maybe one, but I don't think so. So it's just something that, you know, if you're really keen on doing that, even if you're not clan command staff, keep an eye out and talk to your leadership and kind of say, you know, hey, what about this? Is this a possibility? Because it is something that's really, really neat for your clan to do. And yeah, you know, it does need to be approved by Tom or Saz, or goodness, if Saz is out, I actually have to approve them, which is kind of cool.
It's like, so well, it's awesome. A bunch of pretty agreeable people.
Yeah, like, it's really, really rare for us to be like, no, that person is not worthy. But yeah, I think it's and it really benefits the club too, because a lot of times when you make that connection with that person, you'd be surprised how willing they are to stay connected to you, you know, further down the line as well.
Well, perfect example of that, John Morton, who played Dak Ralter, but he also played Boba Fett. He was in the Boba Fett costume when he steps up to Vader and says, "What if he doesn't survive? He's no good to me, yep. Dad." That's yep. John Morton. And John Morton, we inducted him back in 2013 as an honorary member, and I've been friends with him ever since. He had me come speak at his panel at Celebration, his military appreciation panel. And right. I mean, I've got his number in my phone. I can call him up and be like, "Hey, Dak, what's going on?" You know, so I mean, and he came to Fandom Fest this past weekend, and it was fantastic because we got to hang out with him again. And he takes a lot of pride in being a part of the Mando Mercs, and he likes to brag about the Blue Moon Clan all the time, which it makes, you know, my ego go up. But
oh yeah, all of these guys they love being in with us. Like, I got to meet Timothy Zahn a couple years ago, and the first thing he did when he saw Ark and I walking over to get an autograph was he digs around in his bag and pulls out his honorary member badge.
Aww.
He carries it with him to conventions. Like,
really cool.
Blew my mind.
Like, yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that people sometimes forget is authors and artists and even the superstars, like, they're people too. And a few years ago, I was very much involved with music, and I did a lot of work with press, and I always had press passes and was interviewing different musicians. And I remember talking to actually Kid Rock once, and I remember
Did he just scream all the time?
Oh, this is the story ever, actually. Where I'm going is, these guys are people too, and they, you know, if you think about it, like, they spend a lot of time, like, giving autographs and talking to people, and that's awesome. But when they're thanked for what they did or acknowledged for what they did, it's a big deal. I mean, and you'd be surprised how many of them, they're just general people, like, you know, like when I met Kid Rock, I actually was suffering from sun poisoning because it was a festival, and I'd been out interviewing all the different musicians all day. And when I went up to his, like, area, he said, "Yeah, you can interview me, but you have to come inside and sit down and eat a little something and drink some water." And I was just like, okay. And so he had opened up his like trailer, and I sat in there with him, and he was like the nicest guy. And you know, people, it's just compassion and kindness appreciation. And I think if you can do that, making someone an honorary member, it means a lot to them for sure.
Another thing to keep note of is the fact that we were just discussing how Kevin Smith was inducted. And Kevin Smith has done a lot of stuff for Star Wars. He's given a lot of interviews. He's been parts of lots of documentaries. He himself has gone on the record on all the millions of podcasts and interviews and everything that he's ever done, talking about how awesome and important Star Wars is. All of his movies make Star Wars references, all of that. But Kevin Smith has never actually worked on Star Wars.
He did a voice in The Force Awakens.
Did he? Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Well, and he's also done things like he hosted the Fan Film Awards.
Exactly.
Back when those were really big, he hosted those for a few years. Like he's.
But that was the point that I was making, was that you don't necessarily have to be Ray Park, though I believe Ray Park is also an honorary member. You don't have to be Ray Park. You don't have to be Harrison Ford. You can be somebody who has done good things for Star Wars. It wasn't necessarily in Star Wars. Like, that is a thing. So if you have people who you think are deserving of honorary membership, where you're at, just make sure if you can draw a good, strong connection, it doesn't have to be directly through like being in a Star Wars film.
Oh yeah, take Mary Franklin again. Like, she did work for Lucasfilm, but she wasn't involved in the production of any of the material in any way.
She was just really cool.
Yeah.
Ow! Ow!
She was just a nice lady. In general, she's a cool lady, guys.
Yep.
And if you disagree, you're wrong.
Yeah. Alright, so moving on to other Mercs news, which we do actually have some this time. It's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Roki, right?
Yep, Roki is first. Roki has actually stepped down from the Brigadier position, so that means that the guy who runs the Brigades as an entity, his seat is open. So we are accepting applications for a new Brigadier up until August 17th. Let me just double check here. The requirements for it are pretty standard to what our usual requirements are. For the Brigadier, obviously you do need to have a pretty in-depth understanding of the Brigades and the BRLs and all that sort of stuff. So generally someone who is already within the Brigades would be a pretty good applicant. That being said, there are lots of people in the Brigades, so I know that there are lots of you who are eligible for this. Also, just generally, you know, it's a leadership position. You need to be able to lead and communicate and conduct yourself professionally and maintain a professional conduct amongst your staff.
And if you can't do that, at least be effective.
Right.
That's how it worked for me.
So it's definitely, it's a position where there is a lot of work and there is a lot of responsibility, but it is also a position where it has a lot of impact on the club. So it's definitely definitely one that is worth doing and will be filled at some point soon. But yeah, again, applications are accepted until August 17th. The council is going to announce the new Brigadier on September 1st. Also, the other application that is out right now, we are still accepting applications for the social media team. Applications for that close on the 15th of August. And I will be contacting whoever I pick, because it's my team, at the after that period. I will obviously be consulting with the rest of the PR higher-ups, i.e. Misha and Saz, about who we select. I've gotten some really solid applications, so there's some people that I think are going to be definite shoo-ins. But if you want to help me out on any of our social media platforms, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, Facebook for sure, any of those, if you have any interest whatsoever in helping out the Mercs and our PR arm, definitely shoot me a PM about your interest.
We also have an opening on the PR team, maybe two openings, just in general. And we're looking for someone who really wants to write, help out with Battlecry, And we have some different projects coming up, like putting together a press kit for the clans and just about the organization in general. So we've had a few applications, and I would love to see a couple more coming in. This is a spot that doesn't open up very often. I've been on the press team since 2013, 2012. There's never been a spot that's open before other than the news team and like helping out with the invasion reports. So this is pretty special to have both the social media and the PR team to have chances to go for both of those at the same time. So please, if you would like to be on the PR team, PM me and I'll get back with you and let you know. You know, we would like to know your qualifications, and also if you could, I'll send you my email and send me like a sample of your writing. And we will be contacting people probably by about the end of August on that one. We've got a little bit of time yet.
And moving on to the next bit of Mercs news, this isn't for a little bit, but the app team is actually going to be shut down. They're going to close the doors for a little bit from September 17th, 2016 to October 17th, 2016. Ulrich, our personnel officer, he wants to do a little bit of restructuring, a little bit of revamping with the way the PR team works. So he just... And the best way to do that is to not actually have them constantly flooded with applications while they're trying to restructure stuff, because that just pushes the apps behind, and it's not worth it. So for 1 month in September, going into October, they're just going to close the doors for a bit, not accept any applications. So don't take that as a negative. There's still going to be plenty of time between when they open the doors back up and Celebration next year. Still going to be plenty of time to get your app in. So what you should do in that instance is work closely with your Ruzalore, with your clan administration, and just really, really polish your kit for your application. Because that is what your Ruzalore is for. That is their specific job, is to help get you official and stay official. So definitely make use of that during that break time for the app team.
So, not everybody likes social societies, and that's totally cool. When for those of folks that might not know, that Elegant Mandalorian Tea Society is, I guess, my social society, along with Point down in Australia. And it totally started as a joke. True story. Like we were talking about tea and how awesome it would be if there would be an Elegant Mandalorian Tea Society. And he and I think you, Dar, were like, yeah, you should do that. And, like, there's over 100 people in it now. And yes, folks, if you're on there, I know I need to add you. I've had some life stuff going on, and I haven't been able to keep up with it like I would like, but I'll be back soon. So if your app, so to speak, is pending, don't worry. It's still active. There's still a lot of elegance out there. But I actually had people get mad at me and tell me that I was not a true Mandalorian for starting that. So, I think, you know...
Well, I mean, like, a lot of them have started as jokes in general. Like, case in point, another one of the ones that started out as a mostly joke. The M5 Society, the Mandalorian Mercs Mighty Mini Mandos. It is literally our short people.
A joke.
And as a response, there's also one that's, you know, everybody who's over, what, 6'3"? Like...
Yeah, there's some.
They have
like
shade... too, if you're over 6 foot, I think. Yeah. But you know, I will say this: I've actually had people in some of the other costuming groups, like when I wear my EMTS shirt, they look at that and they're like, "That's really cool." And I think it's one of the really unique aspects of the Mercs is that we can have social societies. And yeah, like folks may not like this one or they may not like that one, and that's totally okay. But it's kind of cool that we have a club that lets us make up these groups, you know? So if you're not familiar with social societies, is it still set up, guys, where you can only see them if you're a supporting member of the Border Forums?
You have to... I'm trying to... we changed it. It used to be when we started the societies way back in the day, when there was only, like, EMTS and the magic, the Mandalorians against jetpacks in combat, like, it was open for anyone on the boards, so it basically just became, like, a sinkhole for people who never really planned on being official, never really wanted to be Mandalorians, and they just ended up hanging out there all the time and cluttering up the boards. We did change it so that it does require a higher level of membership. Like, I don't specifically know what tier it is. I know that you need to at least be a supporter. Obviously, if you're an official member, you can see that chunk of the board. Yeah, the last guy I'm seeing on here that was just a forum member was, like, back in 2013. So, yeah. So, basically, yeah, you need to be a higher-tier member of the boards. This is just solely because we want to know that you're committed to the club first and that you want to have fun second, because we do want you to have fun. And, like Misha said, the societies and their various flavors they're there for people to have fun. Like, really. Like, we have one that is BEARDS, Beskar Enhanced and Reinforced Deflection System. It's a club for people with beards.
I love the sound of absolute disinterest in your voice.
I've told these guys before, like, I'm not a member. I'm not a member of a single social society. Part of it is because, as everyone knows, I don't like to have fun.
It's true.
I am a funless and soulless individual. And I mean, granted, like, there are, like, some of these things are, like, one of the ones that I would like to mention that is actually kind of significant is, like, the, I forget what it's called, but it's the Black Strill Society. It's one, you know, it's basically a support group. You know, it's something where people who have issues can just sort of connect and talk to each other in a nice, safe, friendly internet environment. And it's great. That's a good thing. That's a thing that we should have. It's a thing that everyone should have everywhere. But then at the same time, we also have these joke ones where I just sit and shake my head and I'm like, okay guys, you go have fun. I'll be over here being boring.
It's not for everyone for sure, but apparently never for Crow.
Nope.
But, I mean, but there's some people that really enjoy it. And my favorite thing about it has been, I've found that I've met a lot of people that I wouldn't otherwise normally have met. Like, I would not have met anywhere near as many people if I hadn't gotten involved in some of the social societies, so it's cool. And I have to admit, like, I'm all for, like, any time someone is like, hey, can I put my armor on and walk around with a parasol? Yes you can. But that's
well, and that's part of the fun about it. You know, that's the thing that I enjoy about this club. You know, you kind of mentioned it earlier, is, you know, we have the freedom to do this. This is something that, you know, I'm not on the 501st forums, but I don't think they have a sectioned off area where they get people together to do stuff like the QMU, it's the LGBTQ plus. Wow, I'm so out of touch, I didn't even realize there was more to it now. But it's the Mando group. But, you know, I mean, there are individuals with their identities that they want to relate with, and there's a whole group where they can get together and feel safe with other members of our club and discuss and talk and express or do whatever it is. Cause I'm not a part of that group. I don't think I've even clicked in that. I'm like Crow. I'm not a part. I think the only group that I'm a part of is Beards, M5 and the T Society. And I don't even post in them. I only did it just to, you know, support my friends doing it. And I did get my, Mando Tea Society shirt before Misha. That was the best part.
Just don't do it.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Did I bring up a bad? Don't do it. Oh, whoops. that was a good night. Okay, so I'll tell the story. So, I went down to MegaCon in Florida with Sean, and we went down there and we surprised everybody, especially Misha. It was great. Yay! Okay, that whole story, everybody's heard it before. But the best part is we go to the Mercs dinner after the con Saturday night, and Misha hadn't seen me. I had gotten it in the mail, I think, the day before we left. And I had gotten my Elegant Mando Tea Society shirt. And I was like, I'm going to wear this to dinner. So I'm wearing it. And Misha looked so heartbroken because it's like she's the head of that society. And I've got her shirt on.
I can't be a better person to have gotten the first one. So.
That is also one thing that's worth pointing about these social groups. If you want another, granted, you don't always have to be a member of them to get these certain things, but it's a great place to get some sweet shirts and patches.
Yes,
like the EMTS patch. Like Amanda has one on her patch jacket, and I am kind of jealous. It looks cool.
That Tea Society patch was such a pain to sew, though. Oh, I hated stitching that one. I hated it so much.
Well, you know,
speaking,
consider it payback for the shirt.
Speaking of the Mando groups, this kind of will dovetail into something I wanted to bring up. Ulrich Cantier, our personnel officer, he and I have decided to start one because he's a big, big player of the Fantasy Flight's X-Wing Miniatures tabletop game. And so we've decided to... It started out, we were going to start setting up a game for Star Wars Celebration 8, but we also decided we're going to throw in a Merc Society as well, just to help draw more people in. So if you go onto the Society, Merc Society, Social Society page, you'll find Merc Aces. I could have sworn he and I said it was going to be Mando Aces, but whatever. Doesn't matter. The point being is... what we're focusing on is in Star Wars Celebration Orlando 2017, we would like to host a series of X-Wing games, possibly even some Armada, but he and I don't really play that, but if that's what you want to bring, by all means, bring it. But the plan is to do we're still hammering it out right now, but you'll choose one ship, and it has to be a small base ship, and you can load it out with whatever you can fit onto it within the allotted points, and that's your one ship. And it'll be like six players, however many you want to put on one map, and everybody gets to play, and it's a timed game set, you know, and there's a series of rules that we're working on and everything, so it's going to be an interesting, fun way to bring another aspect of Star Wars that a lot of us enjoy outside the club into the club and just get to play with each other that, you know, a lot of us don't get to because we all live on different sides of the country or world.
All right. So, yeah, that just about wraps up the Mercs news. We actually had a fair amount of it this time. Awesome. But, yeah, we'll move into general Star Wars news. We're going to at Celebration London, we got the new trailer for Star Wars Rogue One, which was pretty sweet, pretty awesome, all good. Getting everybody excited for the new movie that everyone should be excited about. I'm excited. But apparently, we're due to get another one really soon. More trailers. They're just going to keep chucking trailers at us until December. And I don't have a problem with that.
Neither do I.
Do we know anything about where it's going to be? Is it just going to be on something, or are they just going to broad release it like they want?
Well, I do know that wherever it is, it'll be on YouTube within 30 minutes.
It's true. What they should do is they should put it on, they should put it in front of that new Disney movie, Moana. They should just put it in front of that. Here, kids. Death.
Go watch this movie with Dwayne Johnson, and then...
Star Wars. I don't know, I'm kind of excited for Moana, too, and I can't lie. I mean, I'm a sucker for Disney. I'll go see anything they do. At least once.
Personally, I'm just hoping that we will eventually get a rated R Star Wars movie. Because that would be sweet.
That's never going to happen.
I don't. I honestly don't. I mean, I don't mind. It would just, honestly, it would just mean more violence is all it would mean. They really wouldn't throw anything else in.
Yeah, they don't. People don't have sex in Star Wars. People don't swear in Star Wars other than hell and damn.
Yeah.
And all it would be that there would be...
There'd be body parts.
Well, it wouldn't even necessarily be body parts. It would just be like the Imperials would be allowed to actually torture people because that doesn't fly anymore.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I would be kind of bothered by a rated R Star Wars because the thing that I love about Star Wars is it's that, yeah, there's dark and grittiness to it, especially with Rogue One, the way they're making it look, but it's an escape from reality. And while I wouldn't be against a gritty, more realistic, I guess you could say, Star Wars, if it was violent and dark and required a rated R, I don't think it would still have that same feel of Star Wars. Like, Rebels, from the trailer, the teaser, and the sizzle reel that we saw, did I say Rebels or Rogue One? Either way, Rogue One. Rebels.
But Rogue One, yes.
Rogue One, either way.
I meant Rogue One, my apology. It's gritty, but it's not, if you got too violent and pushed too hard on the rating, it would lose the magic that those films have.
Yeah. And it would lose the part where everybody gets to see Star Wars. Like your 10-year-old cousin has seen Star Wars, and it's
cool. To
be fair,
your 10-year-old cousin also plays Grand Theft Auto 5.
Well, yes, it's true.
So I don't know that making it rated R would necessarily prohibit them from seeing it.
It wouldn't prohibit them from seeing it, but at the same time, it's just like, it's... Not that Star Wars has an innocence. Anything with wars in the title doesn't really own any innocence, but the broad accessibility has always been one of its major advantages. Same thing with Star Trek. Like, you get a rated R Star Trek, what's that even look like?
I don't think Star...
They tried. They wanted to do that for Nemesis.
Yeah.
That's why Nemesis is so terrible, is because they recut it so that it wasn't rated R anymore.
So, yeah, so, like, that's... No, let's just keep it PG-13. But I'm still super excited for the Rogue One trailer, and that'll be awesome.
I have that news article pulled up. It says, a new Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is premiering the trailer Thursday, August 11th, on NBC to coincide with the Rio Olympics. So, I don't know what's on TV at that time, or... What it is at?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be. I'm where sure exactly it'll be you'll prime, find it. I'm sure it'll be prime time. Knowing American coverage of the Olympics, I'm sure it's either going to be swimming or beach volleyball. So yeah, I mean, Grant, I love Michael Phelps. I love that the guy's the most decorated Olympian in history, but I get bored watching a guy swim back and forth across a pool 38 times. That being said, go USA. No one here is from another country, so they can't argue with me on that. So ha.
Get wrecked.
But the last thing that we've got, and really the thing that I'm most happy about, like we mentioned, Timothy Zahn earlier in the podcast while we were talking about honorary members, Timothy Zahn's work. And Timothy Zahn himself are returning to canon Star Wars. in two big forms. I mean, and that's amazing to me, because that was always, and many people will agree, I know pretty much everyone on this podcast will agree, one of the greatest losses of the Great Cannon Nuke of 2014 was Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Well, there were
closely followed by Mara Jade and Talon Card and all of the other stuff that the Heir to the Empire franchise gave us as Star Wars fans.
My saying has always been that when they did the Cannon Nuke in 2014, that it was a godsend, because now we can actually have new literature, of which some of it will be good.
Right. And Timothy Zahn's will be good.
Yes, it will be. And that was the thing. And there were only two components to the original trilogy that I really, really... Or original EU that I really... Yeah, okay, three. Dark Forces,
mm-hmm.
Which is not books. I was thinking books. That's why I said two initially. Dark Forces and its associated titles.
Mm-hmm.
Heir to the Empire and mm-hmm. its associated titles. And the X-Wing books. And that's it.
Yeah, those really are the best three entities. Yeah. There are other good ones, for sure. But those are probably the best three. And yeah, like, they're coming back. Like, they're starting off with Thrawn. Grand Admiral Thrawn, if you don't know by now, was revealed at Celebration London. He will be in Rebels, in at least some capacity. And I will tell you my one worry about that, is that I am very worried that they're going to try and make him a villain of the season thing again. I don't think they will, like, because they he's too big.
Of Rebels?
Yeah.
Or not at Rebels, whatever you call it. That one. Clone Wars.
What?
Clone Wars, where General Grievous was...
He was the antagonist for the entirety of the run, yeah.
Well, I meant just that for the very first season of Clone Wars, pretty much every other episode, General Grievous showed up, went saber to saber with Anakin, Obi-Wan, and sometimes Ahsoka, and then would get beat.
Actually, I'll challenge you on that, because they were very strict on ensuring that Grievous never met Anakin in the cartoon show, because of a line from episode 3, when he clearly is the first time he's meeting Anakin is meeting Grievous. So no, actually, Grievous did not meet Anakin in...
fighting somebody who was one of the main plot characters who we knew wasn't going to die repeatedly throughout the first season. He underwent massive villain decay.
Yeah, like there are many episodes where he just ends up shaking his fist at the Jedi.
I think there's a couple episodes where he literally shakes his fist at the Jedi as he's like being
launched
thwarted
into an escape pod or something.
Yeah, like, and he literally says something like, "I'll get you next time."
Like, I mean, like, it's very like it. Grievous was still like, they did a lot of really cool things with Grievous in the Clone Wars. Not as many cool things as they did with Dooku, because they actually fleshed out those two characters. But that's the sort of thing that I'm worried that they're going to do with Thrawn. I'm not that worried, because he is such a big character. Like, he is the Moriarty of Star Wars. Like, you don't just remove that from the picture after 24 episodes.
I see your concern, and I agree with you, because look at how, you know, the Inquisitor was the big baddie for the first season,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they didn't really have a set villain for season 2 other than Vader kind of doing the bookends, and then the
other Inquisitors,
weird
yeah.
sister
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I think I was cool with it all the way up until the flying lightsaber helicopter stunt.
That was terrible.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was everything else
was
okay.
That is probably by far the worst thing.
Yeah, helicopter lightsabers are bad. That was, like... I know it's a kid's show.
Yeah, this is no-go.
But...
No-go.
But, like, I didn't like it when the lightsabers spun in the first place. Like, when they introduced the first Inquisitor.
Gimmick sabers. But, there's been one cool gimmick saber, and it was called Darth Maul.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get giving them all standardized lightsabers, because they're just part of the Imperial machine. I get that. But why do they spin?
I don't have an answer for you, man. I that's.
But in any case, Thrawn's coming back. He's going to be the A villain for season 3. My hope is the primary villain, and it's just the entire season is just the rebels with him under his thumb for the entire season.
Trying not to die. You
know, yeah.
The way they cut that trailer, which has some really awesome stuff if you pay attention, I don't think he's going to be the primary through the whole season, because the way they kind of tie it off is I think he's going to come in kind of midway into the season. Mm-hmm. Just the way I don't see them. There's a way I was going to put this, but it's not. They're not gonna show all their cards at the beginning of the round.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
I think they're gonna draw the anticipation up on him, which a really cool thing. If anybody watched the panel from Celebration London, they were talking about it, and they have made the choice not to bring back quite a few things. One of which is the Yeslamari, the little salamander force bubble creating critters that he's known to have. But in that opening shot of him in that trailer, you see him standing there with the art behind him, and there's these two statues on the wall or plaques on the wall or whatever, but they look like these yellow salamanders framing him in the shot over his shoulders, much in the way the Yeslamari you would expect to be on his shoulder. So it's to me cool that they're at least addressing things that they know they're taking away, and at least giving a nod to them.
Right. And I mean, if they don't actually introduce those again, I mean, I'll understand, because that means that they have to explain those too, and then they have to basically do Heir to the Empire in Rebels. Which again, I wouldn't mind. But yeah, I would be fine if all they do is just, they just introduce Thrawn midway through, and he just puts some serious hurt on the rebellion, and then leave it unresolved, and just pick it up again in season 4. Like, that would be great. Like, because they, in the end of season 2, like, Vader clearly lived, because he's Darth freaking Vader.
Spoil alert!
So it's just like, I mean, so they finally did pretty much kill off all of the Inquisitors, but it's just like they recognize that they don't need to end every season with a climactic villain death.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's almost like they threw frickin' Darth Maul and Darth Vader in. You can't exactly have a climactic villain death for either of them, because one of them's already died, and the other one doesn't die until Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So, not really much to go there.
Nope. So, and in addition to Thrawn being in Rebels, which is awesome, Timothy Zahn is also writing a new novel for the Star Wars canon.
Called Thrawn.
Yeah. Again, it's probably not going to be Heir to the Empire.
Why write the same book twice?
Yeah, I mean, even if he wasn't Timothy Zahn, like, why would you do that? We know basically nothing, but I imagine it's going to be a lot like the Tarkin novel. Who wrote that? Was it James Luceno?
Yep.
And that novel was also excellent. If you haven't picked that up, definitely read that. Gives you a lot of really cool insight into what made Tarkin the BAMF that he is.
It is very much a Tarkin Vader buddy cop film.
Yeah, honestly.
In a book.
Yeah. and that works, believe me. So it'll be, we imagine it's going to be if not Thrawn's origin story, then at least how he gets found by the Empire and promoted to Grand Admiral. That big shakeup, the Great Cannon Nuke, was like, it was the biggest thing to happen to Star Wars in 30 years. Like, we just kind of quietly been expanding it, and here's a new book, here's a new comic book, here's some new toys, and it just all kind of just made this giant ball. And then when Lucasfilm says, "Now we're getting rid of that," it's just like, wait.
What?
What?
And I get it. You know,
and
it, I mean,
it's done so much. Like, actually, I ended up running a panel at this at my local convention. And it's just like, it is actually a great thing. Because, I mean, we've gotten new movies, we've gotten new books. It's not like they gave us an executive order to burn all the old ones. Like, I recently moved, and a big part of my move was moving all of my freaking Star Wars books. And I'm looking at this pile. I was going to take a picture of it just to illustrate how many more Star Wars books I have than any other franchise. And the pile got too big. Like, it started falling over, and I said, "Frig it, it's just going on the shelf." so it's like,
you know,
I can pick up any of those I want and read it again.
Yeah, it's not like you were banned from doing the thing.
Right.
Well, and I look at it this way, too. Disney... If anybody knows the history of Disney, they can tell if they own intellectual property, they can have all of it pulled off the shelves in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, the Disney Vault is a thing. Like, I used to work at a record store that sold a lot of DVDs and videos, and I had to explain on a very regular basis to people why you can't buy a DVD of The Lion King.
Why can't you buy a DVD of The Lion King?
Because Disney stopped making it 10 years ago. And they're
why?
They're not making another one until it hits its diamond anniversary, where they'll release a diamond edition that you can then buy.
Yeah. Okay, so it's to drive up demand.
Oh yeah, and it's huge. It's immense. Like, we bought and sold new and used stuff at that store, and any time a used copy came in, it was gone within 2 days. Either someone bought it, or it got transferred to another store or an internet customer.
Or somebody then bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's very... Like, a lot of the Disney Renaissance stuff, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, a lot of that era, The Lion King again, they are in the quote-unquote Disney vault, and they won't be released until there's either a new format to put it on, or it hits a big anniversary.
Yeah, apparently getting it off of Amazon on DVD, $131.
Yep.
Oh wow.
This is what Disney could have done to Star Wars.
Oh, I'll go even a step further. I'll take it even a step further than that. You know, some people might judge me, but I don't care. growing up, I used to listen to ICP a lot.
That's oh yeah, you are being judged hard right now.
Pretty hard.
That's fine. But so they had an album that they released under, I can't think of the record company that they released it under, but it was a record company owned by Disney. They had this album out for a day. They had it out for a day, and when Disney executives found out that this record company that they owned had put out an album by Insane Clown Posse, they had every store rip that album off the shelves, and you cannot find, unless you dig deep in whatever eBay, Amazon, wherever you can dig, but you will never find the original release of the Great Malenko album. Disney pulled it off of every single shelf the moment that they found out that they had a band like ICP under their label, under their house of, you know, of the mouse.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh,
Disney
yeah,
could have easily gone out and said, you know, to Barnes & Noble and all the bookstores and said, if it says Star Wars, you need to return it back to us now or something. You know, instead, they just went and rebranded Legends across it because they knew if they had done what they were more than capable and well within their rights to do, it would have
tanked
killed
them.
Their fan base.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it would have.
Like, this means because they did the rebranding you mentioned, Heir to the Empire is back in print for the first time in 10 years.
Thank God.
Yeah, like, you, because they just, you know, the numbers dwindled and, you know, the printers just decided to stop making it, save some money, print new books. It hadn't been in print in 10 years. Like, you just couldn't get a new copy. Now you can. And now you should. If you don't own a copy yet, buy it. Read it. Yes. Get some background on Thrawn, and then you will be ready to enjoy the new season of Rebels with the rest of us.
And if you don't get it, I'm going to stare at you and judge you very harshly as a human being.
All right, so yeah, I'm just going to... So yeah, we'll wrap this up this time. We'll continue to talk more about Grand Admiral Thrawn and his exploits next time. But thank you for listening. On behalf of myself, I would like to thank you, and on behalf of Frost, Misha Kitty, and now our new guy, Dar, welcome aboard, sir.
Yay! I am so excited to be a part of the team.
So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll have a bunch of new stuff for you next month. We'll have more Dar. Hopefully, I am honestly, you can quote me on this now, I'm going to try and get Ulrich Cantier, our personnel officer, on next month to talk about X-Wing and the app team and, I don't know, being from Texas, whatever else he wants to talk about. So tune in or download or stream, however you do this, next month. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adios.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. Please visit us at MandalorianMercs.org or check us out on Facebook at Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club or Keldabi Talk Radio. Star Wars, its characters, and all properties related to Star Wars are copyright Lucasfilm and Disney. All rights reserved.